Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. With me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
I'm blessed in Christ, bro.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And Tony Palacio, the show's producer. How are you doing today?
I am awesome.
All right, well, praise the Lord. Today's episode is one, I got to be honest with you, is an easy one to talk about. All right, I like talking about the subject. It could be my favorite subject to talk about personally, because it is what I believe is the microwaving of your faith. I believe it is the very act that goes, I believe goes completely towards the will of God, the heart of God. And I believe that there is no faster way to grow in your love with Christ than to do what Paul said in Philemon, where he said, I pray you're active in sharing your faith so you have a full understanding of every good thing you have in Christ. And I know for me personally, I'll tell you a little background before I get into where the background of this show is. When it comes to evangelism, after I came to the Lord, I was obviously telling people about my new love with Christ. I didn't know it was evangelism. I just knew that I came to know Christ and I want other people to know him. I came through to know the Lord through the rock. They sold their souls for rock and roll. And so I sat down, all my friends, called them and said, we got to watch this, bro. And just went house to house watching this DVD. And that's something that I really loved doing. I didn't know that was evangelism. I was going to the gym and I'd see somebody. I'd be like, bro, guess what just happened to me? You know, and I was just talking to him that way. But then I also started going out to the streets. Pastor Joe here was going out to Santa Monica at the time, and we started going out and sharing the gospel. And I just went literally to watch. I remember the first time, I'm like, I'm just going to go watch. And next thing you know, I couldn't help it. And just as the apostles say in the book of Acts, you know, for you cannot help but speak of the things we've seen and heard. I know that for me personally, that there was a compulsion to tell someone about Jesus immediately. And I remember I got addicted to just going out on the streets, especially with Pastor Joe and then with his daughter, who I would later marry, fell in love with watching her share the gospel. I've told that story before, but that's for another day, I guess.
Beautiful love story.
But it's awesome. And I love sharing the gospel. And I wanted to get a little background and maybe some advice, because Joe, I believe he does what Paul told Timothy to do. Do the work of an evangelist. Remember, there are evangelists. It's one of the offices in the church in Ephesians 4 that we talk about, pastors and teachers, evangelists. But also remember, he tells all pastors to do the work of an evangelist. And I do believe that this is somewhere that is sorely missed in a lot of pastoral ministry, sadly. And it's a commandment by God given to pastors to do the same work the evangelists are doing. And I know for Joe personally, being involved with him, going out to eat, whatever we're doing, he's doing the work of an evangelist, and it's always been an encouragement to me. So before I get, I wanted to say that before we started, and I wanted to give background for the question. We posted up a picture of different ways of evangelism. We had a picture of Ray Comfort, of William Lane Craig, and a few different people, and handing out tracts or signs, and said, hey, how do you like sharing the gospel? What are some of the ways you like doing? Do you like handing out tracts? You like apologetics? You like one-on-one? You like signs? Some other ways, let us hear it. And people had a lot of different ways, different websites they use, different tracts they like. And then one person, they actually wrote to us and they were looking for advice. They said, I try. This is from Chandries, I believe. It's an Instagram name, so I have no idea how to pronounce it. I'm not good at pronouncing names anyways. But it says, I try. It's difficult at work though, because I don't want to lose my job or my coworkers to get frustrated with me. It's easier with strangers sometimes. I would love some tips on how to witness to those you're close to, as in friends and coworkers. I'm blessed most of my family is saved. Now, praise the Lord, that's awesome. Most of your family saved. And Joe, maybe we could get it, because I know you weren't always just a pastor and just working with the Good Fight Ministries, but you also worked in the secular field. You had a lot of different jobs and stuff that you did. So how did you open up? How did you get the gospel out to maybe people you were working with?
Yeah, it was similar to your testimony, Chad, as far as when I got saved, I just saw lost people around me. I was the only Christian I knew. No human being had led me to Christ. And so I didn't have any fellowship with other Christians. And I wanted other people to know Christ. So I began sharing with all my friends and my family members. And by the grace of God, it wasn't overnight, but one by one, my closest friends came to Christ, and one by one, each of my family members came to Christ. My dad, we just lost earlier this year, but he came late, but he came. And seven of us, all of you guys know every my family member, because all that are left, the six out of the seven that are left, are still here at Blessed Hope. And as you guys know, they're all servants, you know? They all share their faith, and they all have different ministries. So it's beautiful to see what the Lord's done. So for me, it was, I live and breathe Jesus, so I can't help but see people as, and from being a new Christian, Jesus' words really struck and stuck in my heart in John chapter 5, where he talked about, then shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. So and I was going through the Gospels as a new Christian. I thought, wow, everybody is going to have a future resurrection, either to eternal life or to damnation. And that horrifies you for the future of people that you care for, you love. So it's, you know, you desire to share with them. So I began to share with the lost around me and got to see a lot of people saved early on. But I always knew I was called to evangelism. The Lord saved me. I mean, I just tried to win even animals to Jesus, so to speak. Not really, but anybody that
was
human.
Well, I was an animal, so.
Yeah, the animals in that sense, for sure, you know. But I just wanted everybody to know Jesus, and I knew he died for the entire human race. So evangelism became something, but at the same time, I could relate to people because it wasn't as though it always came super easy. So my wife, you know, she laughs when I tell her, yeah, I don't. She goes, how do you just talk to people so easily about Jesus? You know, my wife, she seems like the most easygoing, easy to talk to person in the world. And I go, you naturally talk to a lot of people about the Lord. She goes, yeah, but I get nervous sometimes. You just go up right and just start talking. And it's not that way. I'm being totally honest with you. In my heart, yeah, I want to share with everybody. But guess what? I have to be wise and have some couth about me as far as how I'm going to share, going to affect them, and so forth. And what I mean is there's a healthy fear, that's a fear of God. And there's an unhealthy fear, which is the fear of man. So we have to wade through those two different nuances. We need to fear God and persuade men, because the scriptures say, Paul said, I persuade men, you know, because of the fear of the Lord, you know, the terror of the Lord. So we know there's going to be a judgment on the wicked. We also know that there's going to be, that we're going to stand before God. Paul said, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. And not that everybody has the same exact calling. Some have the gift of evangelism, but we're all called, again, like a past study we just did. I mentioned, not everybody has the gift of giving, but we're all to give. Not everybody has the gift of mercy, but we're all to have mercy. Not everybody has the gift of the evangelist, but we're all called to evangelize. So I knew from the get-go, whether I had the gift or not as a brand new Christian, I didn't know. I knew I saw lost people. I knew there was a judgment. And it was on me to share, you know, and I began to share. So, but at the same time, I recognized I have to get past the fear of man and being rejected. Now, it seems when I was a new Christian, I don't remember having any fear at all. I just share with people because it's the truth, you know. But I noticed other times, you know, I'm sitting on an airplane, okay, and there's a lady next to me, maybe a middle-aged lady, and she's all into her book and everything else, and I'm going to, you know, start sharing the gospel with her, and she may get really upset visibly. So I'm just being honest with you. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to share with her. It's no problem. Boom. No, I have to pray and say, Lord, give me wisdom on what to share. Give me wisdom on when to share. Maybe she puts her book up for a second. You know, what I'm saying is you need to use wisdom and but not fear in the sense of, I'm concerned what they'll think. I mean, hey, I shared the gospel one time. Who was there amongst us? Someone was just sharing that. Where was I at? Where the gal came unglued at the airport.
Oh, Canada. I wasn't there, but I know the story.
That was when we were on our way to Canada.
Were you there, Tony?
Yeah, I was there.
Tony was
there. She had the tattoos, and you asked her about her tattoos and if she knew what they meant.
Yeah, because she had these satanic tattoos on her. I wanted to witness to her.
Yeah.
And you know
she was kind of possessed, though, let's be honest.
Possessed kind of, bro?
Yeah.
Dude, man. Her head, like, turned around
she
three
came
times.
Next blue. Episode's on spiritual warfare, Tony.
I got
warfare,
pea soup all over my white t-shirt. You know?
Yeah, no, she manifested there.
It was a manifestation. And we were in line in close quarters. And I asked her if she was aware of what her tattoos. But you know what? I tried to be wise as a serpent. I didn't act disapprovingly. I just mentioned them. And she goes, yeah. And she acted like, oh, aren't they cool kind of thing? I'm not going to say, yeah, they're cool. I said, actually, they're, you know, they had the occult origins. Oh, yeah. She started being almost boastful about her occultism. She's wearing some satanic ring, too. And I started mentioning my testimony and how God saved me out of the darkness to the light. And then she began to manifest, you know. And then she freaked out. She started literally screaming at me. What did she, bro?
Oh, yeah.
She's like yelling and people are like turning
around.
People are
backing off.
Backing off like, what's going on here, man? And I just continue to just walk calmly in Christ's love and so forth. But you never know the reaction you're going to get, you know? And that was a doozy right there. Maybe that's why I was thinking of airport, you know, because sometimes it's not always the best reaction. You have a captive audience. So I've had great times sharing with people at the airport as well. But it's, but that question was a lot about work, you know? And my position personally is you have to look at your work as a mission field, because a lot of times I'm tell me if you guys, if this does not ring true. How many potentially millions of Christians think about, man, I'd love to go on the mission field one day and never witness the people they work with? Think you about know? That.
Yeah.
I mean, potentially so millions true. Of professing Christians thinking, man, I wish I could be a missionary. Man, you are on the mission field. This is the uttermost parts of the earth. Most of your coworkers have not heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So you should get excited and say, wow, I'm on the mission field and I'm getting paid to be here. If you start having that attitude about work, you know.
And you get a lunchtime. And you can take them out to lunch.
And amen. Yeah. And that's an option right there. Doing extracurricular things beyond work with them, getting to know them. That's good. I mean, I remember working with different people and yeah, you have to pray, you know.
Big time.
Pray yep. and pray and pray some more. Pray for divine appointments. Pray for God to break up the fallow ground in their hearts. Pray for God to open people's hearts. Pray for him to give you boldness to share with them. That's all important stuff, you know? Because we lack, even the Apostle Paul asked that we would pray, or I should say the believers in his day, because we weren't alive then, that we would pray, or they would pray for him to have boldness. Now, Paul was thought of by his colleagues, a lot of the way my wife thinks of me is just going up to anybody. No, Paul says, pray that I'd have boldness to share. But Paul looked at where he was, wherever he was as a mission field. Remember the church, remember he was in Rome in a prison? He writes to the church of Philippi about how he's won over certain people to Christ. Mm-hmm. He realized, I have a prison ministry. And one of the times when he got out of, you know, he got out of prison and the guy gets saved, you know, because the Lord shakes midnight hour, him and Silas singing praise to God. God brings an earthquake, opens the doors. The guy's going to kill himself because that was the deal if they got away on your watch. Paul says, you know, don't kill yourself.
But that's an example to us in the workplace, though, because if we're working as unto the Lord, like the scripture says,
amen.
People may end up coming to you if they are going through something and they're like, okay, he's the Christian. They can probably answer my question, maybe. And they'll come to you if you're doing what you're called to do.
How much working unto the Lord? Question.
And that's the key biblical text concerning apologetics, apologia, right? Is that they see a hope that's within you. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, I most recently worked at Lowe's for a number of years, and I got to witness to, I believe I got to witness to almost every single person that worked in that store at the time, which was pretty awesome. And I remember my most vocal, like he would walk up into the break room and tell me whatever question he read online to come out and tell me. And it was cool for me because I know for me, it was a refining time where it was like, hey, first of all, I got to be gentle because I'm literally in a break room reading my Bible and there's six people sitting here and this guy screams out, why God kill all those babies in the Exodus? And next thing you know, wow. I got to have an apologetic ready for a whole group of people right here.
Why did
here.
God kill all those babies?
And then so we went and we'd go back and forth, but guess what happened? I'll never forget it. You know, I went home and we had gotten into a little bit of a debate and he was more heated than me. You know, he's a guy from Philly, ex-drug dealer kind of guy, and we would talk and I went home and I said, babe, I really think that God wants me to witness this guy. I think, you know, I this guy's been on my heart. I really want to share with him more in a more intimate setting where he doesn't get to, you know, use bravado in front of a bunch of people. And we prayed and then he came up to me at work as soon as I got back. And he said, hey, I just found out my grandma's sick, and I'm just wondering if you can pray for me, you know, pray for her. I know God will listen to you. He won't listen to me. I'm like, you know it's true. And I prayed for his grandma right there, and I'm like, I want you. And I told him the story. I said, I just was at lunch with my wife, and she made me lunch, and we sat there, and we prayed for you. We said you by name before the throne of God.
Praise God.
And I was like, so I could witness to you, you know. And I think that those opportunities, as you said, you know, praying for those opportunities, I think one of the most answered prayers in my walk, I don't know about yours, but God, give me an opportunity to share the gospel.
He's so
quick to give that answer.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, pray for divine appointments. You'll be surprised how fast they happen. That so many people come back to me, oh, I was praying. And you wouldn't believe what happened. It gets so exciting as well. So praying, recognizing where you're witnessing as a mission field. I remember before, you know, I was pastoring. I was, I had a lot of different jobs. And I was, before I was setting tiles, so I was doing punch out work, just getting houses ready for sale. Whole track of homes would be near done, and I'd be the guy, the jack of you know, all trades, master of none, you know, and just do all the pickup stuff and a little bit of drywall here, a little bit of that there. And there was a guy who was, we'd do customer service after people had worked, moved into their homes, then he would do the customer service and fix whatever was left that I didn't do, I guess. His name was Ryan. And I just, you know, I got to know him. We had two different jobs, but we'd see each other at the lunch, roach coach, as we call it, the lunch truck and stuff. And
you still call it that.
I just, yeah, I would just love on him, you know, and hey, how you doing, man? And before you know it, he's asking questions. I don't know. I probably started the conversations, but over and over again, he started coming to me and asking me questions about my, about Jesus, about Christianity, you know? And he's probably in his mid 20s then, as I was. And maybe a little, maybe I was 23, 24 at that time. And before you knew it, you know, he's really open and he realized I did evangelism. I went to different churches and did, they sold their souls for rock and roll. This is before I was pastoring. And I already viewed my, I knew I was an evangelist for sure. Before I knew I was a pastor, to be called to be a pastor. And he invited me over to his house and I went to his house and I did a presentation. He invited his friends. He got saved. Ryan, Mike McFall got saved. Jack Haynes, who just moved to Tennessee, all these guys have been elders in our fellowship, you know, wow. Got saved. Yeah. You know, Jack came as a fireman to heckle me. He said, I came because, man, you were talking about rock music. I was going to stand up and just talk about what a joke it was. And he goes, and he's just quoting all the scripture. He goes, I was floored. I was like, wow. And it made perfect sense. And I just, and he, Jack hasn't turned back. You guys know, mm-hmm. Awesome believer, man. Yep. You know, and all these guys, you know, and Ryan moved to Arizona, you know, and he has visits us from time to time, became an elder in the church he was at there. And Ryan was it's like Jack and Mike, the beginning of the founding of this fellowship, you know, and it was all started through work, you know, and being a witness, you know, and not letting your light shine. But I think it's important that we do our work to the Lord. We have to be careful because you could be a Christian. You say, well, I need to be a witness. And you spend time, you know, half the day witnessing to people in different ways. They're going to notice that you're not working. And also you're not being, you know, fair to your boss and the company. So you got to be really careful to pick your spots. You know, there's allowances, you know, but you got to fill it out. And, you know, there's what we call breaks, break time. Mm-hmm. There's tracks you can bring, things that you can, you know, send them on text when you're not working or what have you. What's allowed in the workforce, but you got to fill that out. Colossians chapter 3, listen to this, verses 23 through 25. This is one of the keys to be a witness at work, is to do your work unto the Lord. It says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer, he says, will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and for there is no partiality. So I'd say you got to be really careful to make sure, if you, by the way, I encourage my brothers and sisters that are listening, if you look at your job and where you're working as a mission field, and you're praying for the people there, and you're seeking to be a good example, and you're working as unto the Lord, saying, you know what, I'm going to work hard because Jesus is looking at me, and I'm going to be rewarded in heaven. The scriptures say that. You're not working in vain. And I'm going to be an example. I'm going to be one of the hardest workers there. It'll be a powerful witness. And you want to be a good witness to your boss. Ephesians 6, 5 and 6 says, bondservants, they're to obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. I mean, think about that. That means you're supposed to look at your boss as a picture of Christ in a way and serve your boss. Of course, if he told you to do something ungodly, that would be contrary to Christ, you wouldn't do that. But you're supposed to have respect for your boss and not be a whiner, not be a complainer. Ephesians 6:6, the very next verse goes on to say, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So we're supposed to do our work under the Lord, but we're not supposed to just do eye service where when our boss is looking, we're working. We're supposed to be working under, as under the Lord when I'm at work. And if you start doing that and you're praying about it, you're looking at the lost among you, your testimony, your witness is going to speak so loudly, it's going to have an impact on the people, more so than you know, on the people around you. You'll be a blessing, a huge blessing. In fact, you want to be a good example because the Apostle Paul stated in Philippians chapter 2. Now, this is when he had that prison ministry we were talking about, ready for prison in Rome. Listen to what he writes in Philippians 2, 12 through 16. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work and for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling without grumbling or disputing. Now he's writing this from prison. Do you think Paul felt there were some reasons to grumble at times? Do all things without grumbling or disputing. When you're at work, don't be a grumbler, man. Don't be caught up in all the negativity. so that you will prove, he says, yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. Now, that's important. He goes on to say, so that the day of Christ, I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. So that tells us that at work, you don't want to be one of those grumblers, one of those complainers that's complaining against your boss and so forth. Could we have reason to complain? Everybody's got reason to complain at times because nobody's perfect, you know? But you want to rise above that and say, you know what? My boss is imperfect. I'm imperfect. Now, if your boss is doing evil things, of course, you know, you need to probably be involved in dealing with that. But if he's trying to, you know, he's just being your boss, you need to be that employee that people say, wow. I mean, you got to watch your behavior. Bottom line, you got to watch your behavior because guess what? Non-Christians are watching you. The Bible says you're a living epistle. And you know what? It takes about 10 good acts of righteousness before you get noticed for God's glory. It only takes one act of evil before you spoil your witness and are called a hypocrite. So you got to be really careful. If you've already blown it at work, you need to say, you know what, Lord? Please help me to make it right and go and apologize and say, hey, guys, you know what? I shouldn't have laughed at that joke. You know, it was a really evil joke or told that joke even. We got to be really careful what we participate. We're not supposed to participate. The Bible warns us, don't participate in the unfruitful works of darkness, right? We always emphasize, but expose them. But the first part's more important. Don't participate in them in the first place. Yeah. So you don't want to participate in people's evil deeds, John also says. So you got to be really careful because there's a spirit of lawlessness, spirit of Antichrist, the prince of power of the air, that's at work through the non-believers. So they're going to try to get you caught up, that spirit, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. They're going to try to get caught up in that vortex of evil. What you have to do is stand apart, say, Lord, give me courage, give me strength to stand apart, and stand out. Because Jesus, we're called to be light. But if you're hanging out with the darkness and acting dark, you're not going to stand out. You're just going to go along for the ride. And that would be really, really sad. I want to encourage you as well. This, to me, we talk a lot about apologetics. One of the most powerful apologetics is love. And a lot of times when people think of apologetics, they think of apologetics as something we speak, you know? And we're supposed to always be ready to give an answer, you know? Chad mentioned the apologia idea there, and I will address that maybe a little further in the show. But one of the most powerful apologetics is how you love people, you know? Jesus says they'll know you by your love for one another. In John 13, John 15, he talks about the importance of our love. But in John 17, in his high priestly prayer, he talked about how the lost would be won to him when they saw the love of genuine Christians. Listen to this. John 17, verse 20 and following goes on to say, I not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. He's praying for us right there. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. That's powerful, man. So he's praying that us Christians would show our love for one another and manifest who we are in Christ so that people would come to him. That's his prayer. Then he goes on to say in verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. One way we saw a lot of people come to Christ was when I saw Ryan come around and then people that he brought to see that presentation, we started a little Bible study. And people saw a huge difference because here were all these former non-believers that were just lost, all loving one another. And people would come to our Bible study and they'd fall in love with Jesus. They'd see Christ in us, you know, and they'd come to Christ. And that's how this church started and how it grew. And now, by the grace of God, I mean, we're, you know, a lot of times people complain about, you know, apologetic type ministries, discernment ministries, being without love. We don't get attacked typically for not being loving, you know. Anybody who knows us, who fellowships among us, you wouldn't get out of our presence without getting a big bear hug and almost gasping for breath. They hugged me so hard, you know, so to speak. I mean, we love each other. And not just with hugs. We care for each other. We take care of each other. God's called us to be, I love these two pillars, truth and love. You know, we emphasize that a lot. We want to be about God's truth. And if you really have love, you'll love rejoices in the truth, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 13. So you can't have one without the other, really, you know. If you try to have one without the other, if you have to have truth without love, you're going to be a Pharisee. And Pharisees don't win many souls to Christ at work, you know. If you're going to not be about God's truth and just be very loving but have show no discernment and get involved in all the evil that's happening at work, you're not going to win people to Christ because they're not going to see a difference between you and themselves. They're not going to be hungry and thirsty for the righteousness that they ought to see in you. So it's important to uphold truth and love. And one more point I'll make along those lines. You know, I think it's imperative that we are ready to give an answer and that we study to show ourselves approved. And one of the benefits you get out of listening to this show, and we benefit from it as well because iron sharpens iron and we love to do these shows. We don't have to do this. I don't get paid to do these, you know, several of these shows a week that we do. We do it out of labor of love. It takes a lot of my day up, you know. Most of my Thursday is gone. It didn't used to be gone. But it's because we want to see people grow and we want to see you fall in love with Jesus more and we want to help prepare you to be a witness out there in the world. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 and following says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. So if you suffer, you're persecuted, don't say, man, I did those things, man, now my whole work's against me. Say, praise the Lord. Peter says, rejoice in chapter 4. I'm not going to read that, but the next chapter he says, because rejoice when you're persecuted because the Spirit of Christ is on you, you know? And he goes on to say in this passage, though, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God. That means set him apart in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense, an apologia, to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. This is the scripture that Chad alluded to earlier. With meekness, that means you have humility. Not I'm a know-it-all, not I'm better than you, but man, I'm a sinner saved by God's wonderful grace. With meekness and fear. You notice that word's coming up a lot in this little answer that we've been having today because we're supposed to fear the Lord. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So, you know, we got to also talk about, hey, guess what? You might get some negative responses. And guess what? I've had negative responses. I've witnessed. Yeah. I told you the good examples. There's examples where I've shared with people and they didn't want to hear anymore. There's more of those than the good ones, you know. I've shared with different people I worked with. When I was a tile setter, I'd share with my helper, you know, he would clean up the grout and everything afterwards and so forth. And he'd be gone half the day smoking pot, you know, and he'd come back and, yeah, I mean, just to be honest, you know, I don't think he's listened to the show, but he was like the worst helper you could have. I mean, he barely would show up and
yes,
he'd come and go. And that's when I wasn't doing, you know, custom work at the time. I was working for a company, so I had no authority over him, but I was still witness to him and show him the love of Christ. But he was more interested in Jesus and the marijuana and whatever drugs he was doing than Jesus. But I just prayed for him. So you know what you could do is just, it's required, as Paul said, of a servant that he is faithful. Just be faithful. Let God take care of the rest.
Yeah, I think one thing when it happened, you know, concerning witnessing specifically, there are so many different ways that you can be a witness to the believer and the non-believer, because a lot of believers do need help in this regard. There's a ton of great articles that I know in my walk with Christ, Understanding Apologetics, there's some great apologetics ministries out there. We did something.
Amen.
For a while, I know for Holly and I, we don't typically have enough money to go out to eat as much anymore. But something that we did was we said, if we're going to go out to eat, we're going to share the gospel with the waiter. At least that. And what was cool is a lot of young people would come eat with us or our friends. And I remember, it'd be my turn and then it'd be Holly's turn. And I remember specifically, it was Holly's turn and our waiter was a homosexual. And a lot of times, a lot of people get really freaked out by that. And I'm sure Holly was a little nervous. But I remember it was such an awesome witness, and you could literally see tears coming out of his eyes as she goes through the good person test and then shared the gospel
praise
with
God.
Him, you know, and it's one of those things, you know, like you said, the most important thing is that you're faithful, and you also recognize their state. That's what you said first, right from the get-go, right? You recognize there was going to be a judgment, and I think when we recognize the state they're in, and you recognize that you have Jesus, you have this life more abundant, you have everything that pertains to life and godliness. Amen. And everything, and they're living a lie. You want them to know the truth.
Amen. These not are eternal for, souls, man.
Yeah, not only for the judgment day, but for right now.
And
the
Chad, wrath you're is on invited them. Over to my house tonight to eat, brother. Since you're living there right now.
Yeah, amen.
Makes it easy.
Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord.
Love you guys.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.